Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is the most practical, realistic, and most current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. And yes, we're going to have a little fun along the way. A lot of information to share with you. We're going to be talking about, can you remove a fir down in the kitchen? What is a fir down? Why is it there? We're going to explore all of that. Also, when it's time to retile an existing floor, well, we have the tile expert here, Joe Truini, that's going to guide you through exactly how to approach that part of it. Also, proper shutdown of a home when you don't use it for a long, long time. There's a lot of problems if you don't do that right, and we'll tell you a few of the things you need to keep in mind. Also, fireplace facelifts continue to be a very popular home improvement project. We're going to check that out as well. Joe Truini is with me again this week. Always glad to have you on board, Joe. What about that simple solution coming up in a little bit?
All right, Danny, here's a quick tip on how to line up keyhole slots. You know, there's certain objects that have keyhole slots in the back. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it can be a real pain trying to get those screws in the right spot when you're trying to mount anything. So I got a quick tip on how to do that accurately every time.
All right, good. Always look forward to the simple solution each and every hour here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Joe, we try to keep everybody up to date on things, but sometimes it's just no fun to talk about some current things because...
Let me guess what you're going to be talking about, what you're referencing. Are we talking about lumber prices again? And
yeah, talking about that. I know that we've got a couple very current articles from the National Association of Home Builders. And Joe, I know you have one that's kind of alarming a little bit.
Yeah, it has to do with newly constructed homes. Back in 2020, actually, the newly constructed homes had skyrocketed. People were looking for larger homes with certain amenities that they couldn't find in a remodeled house or in their existing home. So they're looking for new homes. Well, that, because of the high cost of lumber, which has driven the cost of building materials up 31%, that has basically come to a halt. You know, people are not looking because it just has added that much to a cost. I forgot what it was, Dan. At one point, the cost of just increased lumber price was adding something like $32,000, something like that, to the cost of a new home. That may have come down a little bit, but it's still way higher. And when you're adding $32,000 to the cost of your new home, you're not making it bigger or better. This is the same house you thought you were going to get for $32,000 less, all because of the rising costs of lumber.
Yeah, I know it. It has to adjust at some point because, you know, one of the things I've heard is that the percentage of people that are looking to buy homes, only 19% right now are looking at new homes. So
right.
That really shows you how it affects, the new home sales, which is really a trigger for a lot of things. Another article we have here is about existing home sales fall for the second month while prices reach record highs, kind of the same type of information because the mortgage rates, you're hearing them starting to rise a little bit. Of course,
yeah.
We hear all about the high inflation. You know, it's just starting to price homeowners out and just reduces the affordability of homes. And it's really, the supply and demand issue remains very tight. So, there's not a lot of good news on that frontier. But, it just emphasizes the interest in making what you have better. So,
right.
Renovations, facelift, doing things along those lines is really keeping the old Today's Homeowner Hotline pretty busy.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, often when people couldn't afford new homes, they would remodel their existing homes and figure, well, we'll just make this home larger and it'll be fine. But in this case, the price of lumber has remained relatively high. So even that's out of the budget of most homeowners, even if you just want to remodel, if it's a large remodeling. And there's something I've been reading about that I wasn't familiar with. Maybe you are, Danny. There are escalation riders in real estate and buying new homes. Sometimes they're called escalation clauses.
Mm-hmm.
This is something new.
Yeah, I don't
new.
Doubt it.
And what it is an escalation clause in a real estate contract lets the home buyer, the prospective home buyer, say, okay, I'm going to pay X number of dollars for this home. But if the seller receives another offer that's higher than what I offered, then I'm willing to increase my offer to whatever that is. So they're not getting priced out, but the price is going up. And I've heard of some markets where you can't even offer, if you offer asking price, you're going to probably lose that house. You have to go above. So then who are you bidding against at that point? You know, you're bidding against no one because you don't really know how much more anybody is bidding. So yeah, it's crazy out there right now. And hopefully, you know, as time goes on and lumber prices start dropping, that you know, all this is going to return to pre-pandemic levels.
Well, like so many times in the past history, when we had situations like this, as I mentioned a minute ago, that people really focus on making better what they have. And that's some of the things we'll talk about in retiling a bathroom floor, the painting that can be done, the, of course, outdoor living areas can be developed. All of that can make where you live a little bit nicer, a little bit better, increase the value of your home. And then if you decide to, you know, wait it out a little bit, things will get better in the home building atmosphere. Hey, we're here to help you with anything that you're challenged with around your home, and we try to make it as easy as possible for you to reach out to us here at Today's Homeowner Radio. One of the easiest ways is to send us an email at any time. You can do that by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask, or you also can give us a call on the hotline, 800-946-4420.
Hey, Danny, talking about fixing up your house and maybe doing some remodeling, I was in IKEA recently. I wasn't really looking to buy anything. I went with my son, Christopher, and we were just looking around. He was getting some stuff for his apartment. Mm-hmm. And in IKEA, they have, as most people know, it's a store from Sweden, a company from Sweden. They have, I think, 50 stores or so in the U.S. And Danny's in Alabama, and I don't think there's one in Alabama, but no, we have one here in Connecticut, and there's some out, right outside of New York City where my son lives. Anyway, they have these plastic, they're like really sturdy plastic bags. They're a pretty good size that you can pick up in the store for free, and you walk around, and, you know, instead of pushing a cart, if you just want to get a few things, you just put them in the bag and you carry it around. The bag's probably like 2.5-3 feet long and maybe 18 inches deep. Mm-hmm. Well, I was visiting my son. We went out to IKEA and we came back, and we're on the subway in New York City, which is the only way to get around the city these days. And there's a rule in New York City where you can't bring a dog on the subway unless it's small enough to carry in a bag of some sort, right?
Uh-oh.
So what people have done is they've taken these IKEA bags and cut four holes in the bottom of the bag, and they stand the dog in the bag and walk onto the subway. So I'm in the subway, and I see this person walking with a dog, and the dog looks way too big to be in a bag, and I realize the dog's just walking. So technically, technically, it's a dog in a bag. So IKEA is helping us out any way they can, including with our pets.
Well, you never know what you're going to see on the subway there in New York anyway. There's always something colorful to see. And so a dog in a bag. Yeah, I have
dog in a bag. Yeah. They're going to start marketing that if they find out people are actually doing it. You're going to be able to get the bags with the holes already punched in them. But if you're looking to spruce up your home and get some decorations and cabinet furniture, it's pretty affordable. I mean, it's mostly kind of like apartment stuff and dorm furniture. It's all knocked down stuff, ready to assemble furniture. But
yeah, there's a lot of people that poke fun at the whole IKEA thing where you're having to assemble everything. And of course, you'll have, you know, 75 or 80 screws that you have to put in with a little bitty Allen wrench.
That's right. You know, well, Sharon loves that, so she'd be perfect for
assembling. Well, she loves assembling everything, and then I have to come and torque it down. But one of the great simple solutions that you shared with us a while back is actually taking your hacksaw and cutting the curved part off of the Allen wrench and then chuck it up in your drill. And, man, that can speed up that whole assembly process tremendously.
Yeah. Well, people like IKEA because, I mean, where else can you get – like cabinets, lamps, and Swedish meatballs. You know what I mean? You got to love a place like that.
Well, I've never been in there. It's amazing some of these stores that have like cult followings, and people will stand in line to be the first one to go in. And
I don't get that. I don't get.
I don't get the excitement of a new grocery store or something like that. But you hear the Publix and Trader Joe's and all of these
Whole
different
Foods.
Stores. Yeah. So, of course, we're saying that, and then we're the ones that wander around in Home Depot for hours.
That's right.
Looking for things there. Well, we're just getting started here on Today's Homeowner Radio. As always, we have a lot of information to share with you. When we come back, we're going to talk about that funny little area that may be above your kitchen cabinets. It's called a fur down. It can be there for a reason. Other times, they just did it for some reason. We'll discuss whether or not it can be removed and the positive effects when it is removed, all of that and a whole lot more, right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery, so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
If you're looking for an extra measure of comfort, convenience, and cleanliness in your bathroom, nothing delivers at all like the SoftSpa electronic bidet toilet seat by FluidMaster. The SoftSpa is a full bidet offering a luxury experience without the expense of replacing your toilet. The SoftSpa features fully adjustable water pressure, temperature, and positioning, as well as a heated seat and warm air dryer. Don't settle for less than luxury in your bathroom. Trust FluidMaster.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done, and by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
And welcome back to the show. The Today's Homeowner Radio Show is heard coast to coast on over 350 stations, including this one in Roseburg, Oregon, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Special thanks to our program director there, Kyle Bailey, for putting us on the air. And we want to help everybody listening in that part of Oregon with any of the challenges that you may be having in and around your home. All you have to do is give us a call, 800-946-4420. Right now, we're going to Michigan. We have a lot of great listeners in the Michigan area. Judy's on the line. Judy, welcome to the show, and tell us some of your ideas you have here for your kitchen.
Well, hello, guys. I'm considering removing the bump out around the top of my kitchen cabinets and have it be open above the cupboards. I don't know what is normal in the construction process. Is the ceiling done first all the way to the wall edges and then the cabinets are put in and the bump out created after? Or will I find that it's open and there's no ceiling or drywall above the cabinet? That would mean I would obviously have to add drywall, and that sounds like a lot of work, and that's why I'm calling you.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you, I have a lot of experience at this. I have torn out hundreds of these things. And just so that the rest of our audience understands exactly what we're talking about in a kitchen area, and it may be something that that many of you have in your kitchen and just never really looked at it. But a lot of times, if you have an 8-foot ceiling in a kitchen, you'll have a fur down or a space of about a foot that is just drywall that comes down and returns, and your cabinets attach to the bottom of it, or appear to attach to the bottom of it. And the reason for this, way back, for whatever reason, of course, your cabinets, it's very hard to reach them if they're up at the 8-foot level, so they just bring it down a little bit. Now, it's been a trend over the last few years to not put in a fur down, attach the cabinets to the wall, and then you have a decorative space up above it for lighting or plants or, you know, the plate collection or whatever you might have on that. So, you know, it's just kind of a personal preference on that. But Judy, is it a single-story house or a two-story house?
It's a single story.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good, because a lot of times they'll use this space for routing plumbing lines, electrical lines, and that still could be the case in looking at this. But one of the ways, if you're able to confidently get in your attic and look directly above this particular area, you'll see if the ceiling drywall continues or that it stops off there. Vast majority of the time, the drywall will continue there, and it's something that, you know, just so that you don't have the heat of the attic and so forth affecting the kitchen. So most likely you will have that drywall there. Now, the other thing you have to be careful with is whether or not the cabinets are attached to that fur down. And again, probably half the time it is relying on that. But since you have walls, and I'm looking at the picture of your kitchen right now, you have walls that your cabinets should and could be attached to. So before that's removed, it may be necessary just to put a few extra screws in to be safe, and then to look up and see if you see any screws that are attaching it to the fur down. And that will ensure that you're, you know, you don't have a problem with it. But I'll tell you what, a remodeling contractor in your area has done this, as I have, and they can come, and one of the things we usually will do is just cut a small hole in one area and just peek in there a little bit with a light just to make sure there's nothing major in there. If it is, it might be best to just patch the hole and move on. Mm-hmm. But then if you can look up in there, that can give you the confidence that you can remove the rest of it. And it can really create a lot of space within a kitchen like that. You'd be surprised how much bigger your kitchen will feel.
Well, that's what I thought. We're also talking about lightening up the cabinets. But I can get in the attic and look. My friends are all saying, why would you do this? It's just a dust collector. I got a lot of things to weigh.
Well, a lot of people talk about it, you know, being kind of a dust collector up there. But still, I mean, it can create a much bigger feeling in your room.
That's what I want.
Yes, there may be a little bit of drywall work there that has to be done. You may even want to go ahead and put some crown molding up while you're at it. But either way, it's a very positive effect what you'll get out of that.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It gives me an idea. I guess I'll be in the attic today.
We'll be careful up there and let us know how it turns out. We're always anxious to hear some follow-up.
Thank you very much.
Okay, our pleasure, Judy. You take care and have a great weekend. Joe, that is something I know that you've dealt with this as well. And
sure.
Boy, I have opened up these fur downs sometimes and there will be 200 wires in there. But most of the time they leave it alone, especially
right.
if you have a single story home. You have plenty of room in the attic to run your wiring and your piping and your drains. So usually they're not relying on that. And a lot of times you can have the whole thing down in no time at all.
Right. Here it's referred to as a soffit, as it is, I think, in most places.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That,
uh-huh.
And again, the only reason they put that up there is just to fill that space above the cabinets, which, as Judy mentioned, is really just collects dust. But it does open up the space if you don't want that, you know, big block of drywall. And as far as the ceiling goes, whether there's sheetrock there or not, it's still going to have to be finished to match the rest of the ceiling because,
that's right.
you know, often it's not finished, meaning it doesn't have any tape on it. So the joints would be exposed because the contractor figures no sense taping it if it's going to get covered up. If it was finished and painted, it's not going to look the same because it hasn't been exposed to cooking grease and sunlight or whatever else has been up there. But yeah, as long as there aren't lights in the soffit, which sometimes there are if there's no cabinet below, there really shouldn't be any mechanicals in there. Which would make it easy to remove.
Yeah, and you know, it is one of these tough decisions on that, and one that can be questioned as to whether or not the total amount that you spend on it is really worth the effect.
Right.
I mean, I know that it's an amazing difference, but you know, if it ends up costing $2,500, it may be hard for someone to justify that and go, well, I didn't gain anything other than a little extra space
right.
and, you know, the effect of, you know, the overall look of it. But it can lead to a lot. I mean, first of all, you got to repaint the entire ceiling.
You can try patching it. Yeah. You'll always see it though. If you patch it and just paint that area, you'll always see that that looks different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a fair amount of work there, but a very positive effect. So best of luck to you on that, Judy, and let us know how all of that turns out. Let's get to some emails. We'd love to get an email from you. You can send us one right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This came from, Bernice in Michigan. Hi, Danny. We own a condo in Fort Lauderdale that we use during the winter. It shut down for 5 months of the year, May through September. All the power is off, including the air conditioning. We'd like to install luxury vinyl flooring, but we're concerned that it'll warp and buckle while we're away. Since we know you're a Florida native, we thought you'd be the person to ask. So do you think it's safe to go with luxury vinyl, or would porcelain tile be a better choice?
Well, Danny's the right guy to ask because you have a condo and down
right.
on the shore, and you put vinyl flooring in, didn't you?
Exactly, yeah. And we don't have any problems with it at all, but we do keep the air conditioning on all year long at about 74 degrees. And the main reason for that, of course, is you're pulling the humidity out. That is so key, and it costs so little, really, in the big scheme of things, to pull that moisture out of there, because it's not just flooring that could be affected, but it's just about everything in there and different areas, especially, you know, out of the way bathrooms and so forth. You can have a lot of mold and mildew that develops there. So I'm really surprised. Without a doubt, the question, would porcelain tile be better? Bernice, without a doubt, that is not going to be affected by the thermal expansion that could be a problem with the luxury luxury vinyl floor. I would be concerned, especially when you're talking about these are some really warm months in Fort Lauderdale. I would be concerned really with having that air conditioning off in the first place.
Yeah, not only that, but it's going to be so musty once she gets back down there in, what, I guess late September, early October. The air is going to be really musty, and you know, and if you have any clothes stored there, which I assume she does, you don't know if that's going to get a musty smell to it too, and then what?
That's true.
You know, you're going to get down there and immediately have to do all that laundry. And she didn't mention whether there's any carpeting in this condo, but that too could get affected. So yeah, I think it's, what did you say, 74? So I guess 74 degrees would be 74, 75 degrees to keep the AC on, so that, you know, if it gets much warmer than that, it's really nice to take that moisture out of the air.
Yeah, because you need that air exchange. You need that air running through there. You need that filter.
I know.
You know, being able to filter it all out. But very surprising that they would completely shut down the condo like that for that much. But Bernice, I would definitely consider the porcelain tile. It'll last a lot longer. It'll serve a lot better thermally. And it won't be something you'll have to do again. But that air condition is probably a pretty good idea. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about ceramic tile and how you should properly approach retiling an existing bathroom. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment, brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, ceiling fans can be a great addition to almost any room, but if they are an addition, controlling them is a little more of a challenge. You know what I mean? One switch for both the fan and the light. So remote controls for these things are not new, but Hampton Bay has taken that a step farther with their new Fanalee Smart Ceiling Fan. Now, this fan offers a variety of control options, remote control that's included. You can control it via your smart device, either the phone or tablet with the Hub Space app, or voice control with Amazon Alexa or Google Assistant. So you can adjust the fan setting without leaving the couch or even finding a remote, or even create a schedule for when your fan will come on and go off. It also includes an integrated 31-watt dimmable LED light with the ability to choose from six different light temperature settings ranging from 2700K to 6500K, and the quiet yet powerful four-speed reversible motor makes it ideal for some of those larger rooms you may have in your home. So if you want to check out a little bit more about the Hampton Bay Fanalee, the 54-inch color-changing LED, log on to homedepot.com. So there you go, Joe. You got a voice-activated ceiling fan.
Yeah.
Everything's getting voice-activated right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've seen one where you can have that wide a range of temperature settings, which, of course, is the brightness or lightness of the color of the light coming out. And it says there's a four-speed reversible motor, and we probably should mention for the last few months we were telling people to reverse the rotation of the ceiling fan so that any trapped air would be blowing down. Well, now as it's getting warmer, you want to reverse it back, you know, make sure it's turning counterclockwise so it's blowing the air down once the, you know, so it makes you feel cooler once the room finally warms up.
That's right. Yeah, a ceiling fan can definitely save you some money, make you a little more comfortable. Well, let's head over to Pennsylvania and talk with Bill right now. Bill, I'm glad you're joining us today. And when we talk about retiling a bathroom floor, is something a lot of people are looking at. So welcome to the show and tell us what's going on in your bathroom there.
Oh, thank you very much. And what's going on is I'd love to put down a new floor. And it's already been tiled and it's way out of date. And my question basically is, do I tear this up and somehow smooth out that floor? That's really my question. How do you get rid of the old mortar that's down there in order to get a level, smooth surface to retile on?
Well, this is certainly something we both, Joe and I, have dealt with a lot. And Joe really dug into it when he wrote his tile book, a very successful tile book a few years ago. Joe, what did you really discover as you were putting together the book and plus your past experience in doing this? Of course, it's always better if you can remove the tile and get back down to the original floor. But there are some other options.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Bill. It does seem like, well, if I just go over, it'll be a lot easier. But, have to start dealing with height issues. Now, you said this is an old, outdated floor, so can I assume it's got like really wide grout joints?
Yeah, they're octagon-shaped tiles.
Octagon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember last time I saw anybody install octagon tiles, so it's probably time to take that up. I would always recommend taking it up. First of all, this is a bathroom, so I assume it's relatively small. I'm not talking about a kitchen and dining room combined, right? So is this a relatively small space? Yeah. And it's a plywood subfloor beneath, or some kind of wood subfloor? Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that would make it come up a little easier. I think I would bust it out. You know, because this way you're starting from a clean surface. You don't have to be concerned with any height issues. Because tile, it's not like if you want to put vinyl down. Well, vinyl's, you know, super thin. It's, you know, barely a little over 1/8 inch thick or so. So you can probably get away with it. But something like this, I think I would take it up. Okay, so how do you take it up? Really, the only way, the most effective way is just bust it up, chip it out any way you can. Make sure your hearing protection, eye protection, really important, whole face shield if necessary. And you can just pound it with a small sledgehammer, like a little 3-pounder, and you bust it all up. Scrape it all out. If you have to rent a chipping hammer with a flat blade, and you can pop some of them up. Because it's on plywood, the plywood would give a little bit, and they'd probably pop up a little easier than if it was on concrete. And then, okay, so now you have swept up all the tiles, now you have the old mortar. You don't have to remove every bit of the old mortar. You don't have to go down to plywood. You basically just have to get it smooth enough, you know, if there's any large pieces of grout left, because you're going to be putting thinset over this, and that's going to hide a lot. You don't have to take up every little bit of the old mortar. You could grind it off, you know, either with a oscillating multi-tool, or you can rent a grinder. But again, you don't have to get it all up. Just get it as smooth as you can. You're going to be putting down, you know, probably at least 3/16 or 1/4 inch of mortar anyway before you set your new tiles. I think I would just go through the trouble of doing that than trying to set new tile on top of old.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of work.
It might go quicker than you think. Again, because if it was on a concrete slab, I mean, it would take a lot of work because there's no give in it. But I think this gives you an opportunity. If you want to put electric radiant floor heat in the bathroom, you could do that. And you can update the comfort as well as the look of the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready for the job, so we're going to give it a shot.
Just be careful.
Oh, yeah, I plan on it.
Sounds like a great project. Going to have a good look once it's all completed, and best of luck on it. Let us know if you're running any snags. We're happy to help.
I'll do that. I appreciate it.
Okay, our pleasure. Have a great weekend. Thank you. Hey, let's get right back to another email here. You can send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one came in from Long Beach, California. Linda asks, I have a stone fireplace that runs all the way up to the ceiling. I'd like to add a mantle and change the look of the fireplace without removing the stone. How difficult is it to install a mantle against the bumpy surface of the stone? Do you have any other ideas for updating the fireplace? Well, a lot of times when you have a very textured type of surface, a lot of times the mantle is actually installed first, and then the stonework is placed around it. So that would be an option, actually, is to have your fireplace mantle ready to go in, and then trace it very carefully on the stonework, and then using an abrasive blade and a little dust control there, because it will generate a lot of dust, you can actually cut the area for the mantle out of the stone, and that gives you a recessed pocket to install it. Now, you still may need some corbels below it for support, and that can, you know, be something that you'll have to work around as well. But you might want to get a pro to look at this one, and a remodeling contractor certainly is something that they've probably tackled in their career, because it is a little tricky. You will have the dust control, and you will want to make sure that mantle really stays in place. But great project, can make a big difference in the overall look of that significant focal point in your home. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to tackle some more emails, and right around the corner, a brand new simple solution. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app, or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Got a project? Titebond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7-to-1. Why? Because Titebond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself. Titebond is versatile, perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. Titebond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. Titebond Wood Glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Captain's Log, Day 173, the search for a natural way to kill weeds.
Hey there, I'm Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. Not long ago, I found a compound in goat milk so effective at killing weeds, it's the active ingredient in my Deadweed Brew. Captain Jack's Deadweed Brew kills weeds and grasses anywhere and everywhere, and it's approved for organic gardening.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Deadweed Brew from Bonide. Learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
Hey, want to make you aware of a special landing page that we put together for you at todayshomeowner.com/metalroofing. You know, there's so many questions about metal roofing, and we thought it would be good and a good service to work with our friends at the Metal Roofing Alliance to put together all kinds of articles. If you go there right now, you'll find some articles about a metal roofing buyer's guide and visualizer to make the selection of your metal roof a little bit easier. That way, you're able to take a picture of your house and then try the different types of metal roofing. And you'll be surprised how many different types and styles of metal roofing is available right now. So give that a try. Also, you'll see how metal roofs protect against extreme weather, why they're such an advantage if you're in an area that gets a lot of snow or maybe wildfires or even the reflective nature of it to save you a little energy. All of that information is waiting on you right now at todayshomeowner.com/metalroofing. Check it out. We're glad to provide that service along with our friends at Metal Roofing Alliance. Emails. Joe, we have a few emails we want to tackle here. All right. Hope we can get a few more on the stack by people sending them in at todayshomeowner.com/ask. John asks, I have an exposed aggregate concrete patio that's badly cracked. What can I do to give this patio a fresh new look? We're in our 80s and don't want to spend a fortune. Also, the concrete floor in our carport was sealed and it sweats really badly. We'd like to correct this problem if possible. Thank you for any suggestions. Well, Joe, you know that exposed aggregate is something that people have seen it everywhere, but Right. Maybe the terminology doesn't ring true. It's basically where you're seeing the exposed aggregate or gravel. Often it'll be the pea gravel, the small gravel, Right. That is exposed. And so it has a little bit of a rougher texture. It has some great character. It looks good. But of course, no slab, no concrete looks good if it has those pronounced cracks down the middle of it. And of course, when you see a crack, one of the things we always ask you to do is to put a straight edge right on top of the crack to see if one side is lower than the other. If you have one side lower than the other on a crack like that, that means settling is taking place. That's different than a simple expansion-contraction crack. But if it's a simple expansion and contraction crack, Joe, of course, I don't think, especially with the washed aggregate, that they could simply repair that crack and make it look good. It'll make it look a little better if they use a concrete caulk to fill the crack.
Right.
But this is usually something that's going to need a little resurfacing or maybe even that pavers or porcelain floor.
Yeah, right. The thing about patching concrete slab, there are a couple of ways you can hide the repair. Sometimes it's pretty obvious, but you can make it blend in a little bit. But with an aggregate, exposed aggregate, the cracks are much more obvious because, you know, it's interrupting the pattern of this exposed aggregate. So, yeah, I mean, the options are to fill it with the first thing I would do is just fill it with a caulk, a flexible caulk. Quikrete makes one, a repair caulk, and put that in there. It has some texture to it and expands, contracts, as opposed to putting in, you know, some kind of mortar or epoxy or anything like that that would dry hard. And see if you like the look of that. And then she mentioned that it also sweats. Well, I mean, that happens with almost all concrete slabs if the temperature is right, if the conditions are right, whether it has exposed aggregate or not. And it's known by sweating slab syndrome. That's actually something that happens when condensation forms on the surface of concrete. And the best thing to do is put down a penetrating masonry sealer. But for extra protection, you really should first apply a primer that's known as a fast-setting concrete densifier. And we haven't talked about that much, but this is important. It's a primer that goes on prior to the penetrating sealer. So do those two steps, and that's about the best you can do. There's no way to put a moisture barrier under the slab at this point. So put down the densifier and then a penetrating masonry sealer.
There you go, Joan. Hope that helps you out on that. Not an easy fix when you have that crack, because it will kind of show up no matter what you do, but you can certainly improve it drastically and then have the option of recoating the entire top of the slab using recap from Quikrete. And of course, you'd want to get a professional to take care of that. Here's another one. Joe, actually have an email here from Australia. Glennis asks, does the subfloor need to be perfect before installing a plastic laminate floor? Well, you know, a plastic laminate floor is somewhat, if we're speaking of a floating laminate floor, is pretty forgiving. I mean, if you have big offsets in your subfloor, you'll have problems with the plastic laminate floating over it and, you know, to where you don't want it to have movement when you're walking across it. So, even though it is very forgiving, I still would recommend using some floor patch compound, smoothing it out almost like you would any defect in a drywall wall. This is, of course, a little bit different material, but applies very similar with some of the similar tools. And you can use the floor patch, put it on there, let it dry, and that will ensure that you won't have any of that little offset. Hey, Joe, I know we've got a simple solution coming up. Can you give us just a little tease?
How to install keyhole slots accurately. Any device that has a keyhole slot in the back, there's a quick tip to get it exactly where you need it.
All right, that sounds good, especially if you have one of those projects that involve that during this weekend. Hey, we'll be right back here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. Add beauty and excellent foot traffic to all types of slippery surfaces around your home with the TrackSafe system from Deitch Coatings. Start with the new TrackSafe color coat in one of five colors, pre-mixed and ready to install on steps, walkways, patios, and pool decks, even garage and workshop floors. Then finish with clear coats of TrackSafe anti-slip sealer to add slip-resistant safety. Plan your next project and order online today at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com.
Captain's Log, Day 173, The Search for a Natural Way to Kill Weeds.
Hey there, I'm Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. Not long ago, I found a compound in goat milk so effective at killing weeds, it's the active ingredient in my Deadweed Brew. Captain Jack's Deadweed Brew kills weeds and grasses anywhere and everywhere, and it's approved for organic gardening.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Deadweed Brew from Bonide. Learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
From installing a smart garage door opener to installing a bathroom faucet to removing a tree, the Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit homedepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Tight Bond, the Pro's Advantage.
Joe and I have so much fun being with you, talking about home improvement, cutting up a little bit, and hopefully helping you with some of the challenges that you have, that we all have as homeowners. It's never a dull moment when you own a home. There's always something that you can do to improve that environment that you're around. And, you know, it's really neat. I can remember, and I've mentioned this many times, when I really started getting into remodeling and home improvements and all, I love those little tips that people would share with me. And that's why I think everybody enjoys this time of the show when Joe shares with us yet another simple solution.
All right, Danny, this is how to install products that have keyhole slots in the back. We're talking about power strips, some shelf brackets, anything like that. And if you're not familiar, you probably have seen them. Maybe you didn't know what they were called, but a keyhole slot is simply, it's a hole in the back of a device that has a round circle, a hole for the screw head, then a vertical slot underneath the hole where the shaft of the screw slides in and locks it in place. That's basically it. And they typically have two. Each product has two of these keyhole slots. But if you don't get those screw heads when you drive them into the wall or wherever you're mounting this, you leave the head sticking out a little bit. If they're not spaced exactly the right distance apart, you get one in, but you'll never get the other one in, and then there's very little adjustment. In fact, there's no adjustment. So here's the trick. Take the device to a copying machine. Make sure it's set at 100% and simply make a photocopy of the back showing the screw hole locations. And, you know, if you don't own a photocopier, I'd just go up to the local library. They have one. I think it's 50 cents. They make a copy. Otherwise, you can go to Staples or something like that. Or if someone works in an office, there's probably a photocopier there. But anyway, so you make a photocopy at 100% of the back of this device. It shows the screw holes. Then you just hold it up wherever you're going to mount this device and mark the locations with a nail setter and awl. And then drive in the screws. Again, leave the head sticking up a little bit and mount the device. The screws will be exactly where they need to be.
Boy, now there you're talking about a simple solution and something that, I mean, visually you can just see exactly what you're talking about, you know, whether you're out at your workshop or, right, you know, at your home office, and having one of those electrical strips can be so handy to have those additional places to plug in all these chargers and all these devices that we have. And when you think about being able to visualize the back of that and then hold it, there's no guesswork.
Right.
You know you're getting the spacing of those screws right. You know you're positioning it right. So that's a good one. All of them are good, Joe, but that one I like a lot.
Yeah, thank you. And the reason that it's difficult is if you measure between those slots and it was 4 inches or 8 inches or 12 inches, like, oh, okay, I can kind of figure that out. But it's never that. It's always like 12 and 9 and
15 sixteenths. Yeah.
Yeah, or yeah. 25, 30 seconds. Like, oh,
right.
Thanks. How am I ever going to do that?
1964.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So this takes the guesswork out.
That's a great one, though. Really, really good, Joe. And we would encourage you to go by todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. You'll see all kinds of different things. I mean, how to make your tape measure reading a little simpler and easier. Also, simple back support when you're working in that sink cabinet. Hey, I'm sure you're curious about that. That's a tough position to be in. You'd be amazed at what Joe's come up with to make that a lot easier. We also want to remind you on what you can see this weekend on the Today's Homeowner television show. It's a brand new episode that we call Out of Sight Office. So many times during this past couple years, people have found themselves working at their home in their home office a lot. Well, it can be kind of tough around your home when you have, you know, kids and animals and all the different sounds that are associated with a traditional household. So sometimes you need a little space by yourself that's quiet that you can concentrate on. Also, building a simple bookcase organization area, how to insulate for soundproofing, and how to create a nice, attractive wall for Zoom calling. You wouldn't believe how nice this turned out and very inexpensive. So drop by todayshomeowner.com right now and find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area. Well, that's going to pretty much wrap up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lippert along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for being with us during this time here on Today's Homeowner Radio.